God often takes us back to the beginning, but prophecy also proves that we must consider the latter end of our actions, both nationally and individually. Discover what the Bible teaches about considering the latter end next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
My friends, stop and think about this. What if a real madman, head of a nation, should set off, and it might only be a minor nation, set off an atomic weapon? It would start a chain reaction that would go from nation to nation. And every last man, woman, and child on the face of the earth could be blasted out of existence. That is what we face now, and that could never have happened until within our lifetime, just the last few years. Never before has such a frightful thing faced every one of us and all mankind on the face of this earth. Now, what about such leaders as Gaddafi, as Khomeini, as, another Hitler that might arise, or as Arafat, or men like that? You think that men like that would hesitate to use an atomic weapon? It can and could happen here. And we've been slumbering on thinking that no one is going to dare use such a frightful power. Well, now, what does Bible prophecy say?
Yes, indeed. What does your Bible say about the use of atomic weapons or nuclear weapons? That's Herbert Armstrong, the late Herbert Armstrong, speaking back in the 1970s, talking about madmen. I mean, it's a little dated when you hear the names that he throws out there, but there's plenty of madmen today, and there certainly are a lot of wars and rumors of wars, just as Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Key of David program. We appreciate you joining us on this show. Mr. Armstrong there, he died in 1986, and before he died, he really tried to get the brethren of God thinking about the way that this world started. It really does help for us to understand why this world is the way it is. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, if you go back to Adam and Eve, if you look at how human civilization began, when Adam and Eve rejected the tree of life and God's government and God's truth and the power of God's Holy Spirit and took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you see at the end of Genesis 3, God cut man off from access to the tree of life. And man's been going it alone ever since. You fast forward to today, and you see where we are. You see a world filled with violence, with competition, with strife. We've got a war in Ukraine. There's one more recently now with Iran, Israel and Lebanon. Of course, before that, you've got the October 7 massacre. That was just 2.5 years ago. Why is all of this happening? What's behind it? I mean, with respect to Iran, you could argue that Iran's been at war with the United States for 47 or 48 years. There's plenty of commentators that have said, you know, what took America so long? But then you see America getting into this war together with Israel. And as some have asked, I mean, what's the end game? Where do we go from here? Meanwhile, you've got European nations. They see a break in the transatlantic alliance. They're building up a new war machine, as we've covered on this program. France is talking about producing more nuclear weapons. Poland now has said, they've come out and said, we want nuclear weapons. We've got to have nuclear weapons. We've got to be feared, as France said, Macron. We've got to be feared if we're going to hold on to our freedoms. I mean, look at the direction this world is heading in. Just leave aside, you know, who's right, who's wrong, who's in between. Just step back and look at this present evil world, as it says in Galatians 1 and verse 4. You can see why we need to go back to the beginning and see how this all got started. But the Bible also tells us to look to the end. Look at what God says about how all of this is going to play out. That's important too. You need the beginning and you need the end. And then wherever we happen to be, and of course we're right here in the last days, God says to amend your ways, to consider your ways, as I covered last week on this program. Examine yourself. Look for areas that you need to change. Turn to God in repentance. We're going to start our study today in Luke 12. Make sure that you get your Bible and that you read along with what your Bible says about this present evil world. Luke 12 is the parable, or at least it contains the parable about the rich fool who had accumulated all of this material gain, and he looked at how prosperous he was and thought, well, how am I going to store all of these goods? And he decided to tear down his barns and to build bigger ones. And then he decided to just pull off the gas a little bit, to coast. He was complacent. He thought he had it made and that he didn't need to work anymore. Luke chapter 12 here. He says, I'll pull down my barns and build greater. That's verse 18. Look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. I mean, this is a Laodicean attitude. You can read about the Laodicean era of God's church, the seventh and final era in Revelation 3, I think verses 14 to 21 and 22. But it's the spirit of being rich and increased with goods, of coasting spiritually. It's the spirit of this age. And God says, woe unto them who are at ease in Zion, who are at ease in the church. That's Amos 6 and verse 1. We should be sobered by all that's happening in this world. We should be watching attentively world events, praying always, as Jesus said. Verse 20, this is Luke 12, it says, but God said to him, this is the rich fool who wanted to build all these big barns and say, hey, I'm just going to take it easy. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to party. It says, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. And then whose shall those things be which you have provided? I mean, you're laying up treasure for yourself instead of being rich toward God, as it says in verse 21. Now, that's happened to most of God's people in these last days. They are rich in material things, but they're not rich in faith. They're not rich toward God, as it says here in this parable. Notice the book of Lamentations. I touched on a couple of verses from Lamentations 3 last week. This is my father's latest booklet, by the way, Lamentations, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. As I said last week on the program, I mean, it's this beautiful poetry, and yet it's like a funeral dirge, a eulogy, and God's just trying to help us understand the emotion that he goes through when he sees human beings bring so much suffering upon themselves because they won't consider their ways. They won't turn to God in repentance. Notice Lamentations 1 and verse 9. I mean, it's again, if you don't have this booklet, make sure you call our operators today and request Lamentations, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. And then this one, which we've offered a few times over the years, the United States and Britain in Prophecy. I mean, if you want to consider the end of the movie, we need to know the beginning. But if you want to know the ending, U.S. and Britain in Prophecy is a good place to start. Verse 9 of Lamentations 1, it says, her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembers not her last end. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. She didn't remember the last end. She didn't remember or hold fast to all of the prophecies of God that tell us about mankind, his nature, and how he uses weapons that he constructs and builds. And that's going to play out again in the form of world war. We've had world war two times in the past century plus. To act like it can't happen again is delusional. Mr. Armstrong alludes to that in that quote that I gave to you, that clip in this booklet. My father says, God tells them that they didn't consider the end of all their ways, and where there's no vision, the people perish. That's Proverbs 29 and verse 18. He says, a lack of repentance brought them to this point and remains the real issue with the Laodicean church. Since the Laodiceans would not hear Christ knocking on the door, that's in Revelation 3:20, they must experience extreme suffering at the hands of the enemy. Now, there's, as I say, there's lots of suffering going on right now in the world today. And yet we tend to not really, you know, think about it or be concerned about it unless it actually touches close to home. Well, for the little nation of Israel, that happened on October 7. And, you know, if Hamas had more powerful weapons, they would have used them. But as it was, 1,200 people murdered and then something like 250 taken hostage. And then all that's happened since. And you had the effort in Iran last summer, and we were told that everything was obliterated. It was no problem that Iran had changed its attitude. And then here we are 8 or 9 months later, and it's the same problem. We're dealing with the same problem. Wars and rumors of wars. Look at Lamentations 3, verse 40. I mentioned this last week on the show. It says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the eternal. There will be some few that actually repent and that turn to God. But they're in the minority, the vast majority of God's people, and you could say the same thing about the people of America and Britain and little Judah in the Middle East, the nation called Israel. The vast majority of these people, our people, they're fast asleep. They've gone right along with the spirit of this age. Just build up the barns, you know, load up the material goods. Eat, drink, and be merry. Listen to another clip from Herbert Armstrong, one of his old World Tomorrow programs. This is clip two.
The people have not heeded the true ministers of God. God's Word, the Bible, is available. It's in nearly every home in the United States. What are we doing? Well, I tell you, most of us are too busy being entertained and amused, passing away the fleeting moments. In whatever way it is, whether it's going to a movie or going to some athletic contest, looking at TV, listening to radio, whatever it is, we want to be amused and entertained. We don't want to think. We don't want to realize where we're wrong. We don't want to straighten out and get right so we can really be happy and live abundantly and fully like we should. And so God is going to punish. And this is coming on us. And it's about time to wake up. And we're not taking seriously the times that we live in, the world that we live in, and what's going to happen. And these things are absolutely sure, as certain as the rising and the setting of tomorrow's sun.
That was God's man preaching the truth, as unpopular as the message might have been. And it still is to this day. People don't want to hear it. They just want to hear about, I mean, you know, for the longest time, and we covered it on this program for months and months and months, we heard nothing except peace coming out of Washington, D.C. We heard the diplomats. We heard the president. Everybody was talking about peace. They established the Board of Peace. They invited everyone into the Board of Peace. And then it wasn't that long after that when a major scale war broke out in the Middle East. And this was also after we were told that eternal peace had been achieved in the Middle East. How long did that last? About 150 days? Not even that, really. When you look at all of the fighting and the negotiating that went on over the few remaining hostages or the dead bodies there left in the Gaza tunnels. And then the declaration, eternal peace, eternal. Yeah, people actually said that. And then you have a large-scale war break out in the Middle East. Well, I guess some would say Iran is not directly in the Middle East, but it's certainly, it's in the neighborhood. It certainly is. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, it says, the spirit of this age, to be complacent, to take it easy, you know, to want to be amused, to not think, as Mr. Armstrong said there. God's people have been afflicted by this same disease, and so did the Israelites of old. Moses says in Deuteronomy 32, 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider the latter end. Consider the end. How is this going to play out? Well, how is it going to play out in Ukraine? How is it going to play out in Iran? If people are honest, they don't know. We're hoping for a good outcome, but this has been man's history for 6,000 years, and we've become so sophisticated and so advanced as far as technology goes, and yet we have the same old struggles, the same old battles, the same old divisions, the same old wars. It's been going on for thousands of years. Human nature hasn't changed. In fact, it's gotten worse. It says in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse and worse as we get closer to the return of Christ. I mean, that's the good news. Christ is about to return to this earth. Most of the preachers don't say that. They don't preach that. But it's in hundreds of prophecies in your Bible. And it's the only solution to the troubles of this world. God's government, God's family. God says, if only we would consider the latter end. But to consider it, I mean, you've got to think about it. You've got to have vision. You've got to project ahead. You've got to think, well, what does all of this mean? I tell you, this book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, it will lay it all out there for you. And if you stay with your study of this, you'll get to the last four or five chapters. And I mean, it will be a jolt. It will wake you up. It will sober your thinking. And it should. Look at the world we're living in. I mean, the Lamentations booklet is a sobering study as well. You can have both. We offer literature on this program at no cost to the viewer. You just have to call our operators and give us your mailing address, and we'll send you a free copy. You can also subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine, a free one-year subscription. It's waiting for your phone call. But when you consider the latter end, or when you examine yourself, I mean, self-examination, just to build on what we talked about last week, involves, you know, looking at, well, how is this going to end? Whether it's, you know, a church, a nation, or you, the individual. If you're taking this action or you've made this decision, it's important to think about, well, where will this lead? If I'm not taking care of myself in this way or that way, I mean, what's it going to be like 5, 10, 15 years down the road? In our booklet, it's a book, I guess, Biblical Manhood, it says, honest self-examination is essential to the Christian life. You can't grow without self-examination. It says here, how deep does your religion go? Don't be content with a panoramic view or with looking only at how others perceive you. Look into the recesses of your thoughts that only God knows about. It says, examine not just your actions, but also your motives. I mean, look at yourself. Consider your ways, as I quoted last week. If we don't look at ourselves, if we don't make changes, well, we're just deceiving ourselves. Notice what James wrote. This is the Apostle James in his epistle. James 1 and verse 22, it says, but be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then he goes and he compares, you know, the holy book, the Holy Bible, the inspired words of God, he compares it to a spiritual mirror. It says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was." He sees the flaws, he sees the sins, he sees the areas that need to be changing, and he needs to grow in certain areas. He sees all of it, but then he walks away and forgets everything. And nothing happens. No changes are made. Verse 25, it says, "But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Are you a forgetful hearer or a doer of God's truth, a doer of God's work? If you do these laws, these teachings, then you'll be blessed. Go back to Deuteronomy 30, read the last few verses, where Moses lays it out for the people of Israel. He says, "I've put before you two ways of life." I mean, you've got the way of life, you've got the way of death, you've got the way of obedience or disobedience, the way of blessings or cursings. You've got to choose. I mean, you're a free moral agent. You've got to decide. Those are big decisions. And most people are just happy to be forgetful hearers. They tune into a message. Ezekiel 33 brings this out, if you read the last few verses there. They tune in, they like the message in some cases, but they won't do anything with it. They won't make any tangible changes. God is saying, look into the perfect law of liberty, and look into there. It denotes, you know, really getting into a serious, in-depth examination of God's law, and see how your own personal life aligns with it, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe you're way off course, but the Bible is the lamp that gets us back on track. The Bible is the lamp that shows us the way to go. I mean, we can have vision. We can consider the latter end. I mean, think about, on just this point about projecting ahead and having vision. Look at how many verses there are in the Bible that talk about the positive ending for those who are obedient, who are faithful, who are submissive to God's government, who love the truth, who love the law of God. Proverbs 19 and verse 16 says, "He that keeps the commandment keeps his own soul." You keep the commandments, you keep, you preserve, you protect your own life. If you despise God's ways, you die. That brings to mind the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's the tree of death. That's what God said it leads to. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 5, "Whoso keeps the commandment shall feel no evil thing." How did they do it? The martyrs of old, Jesus Christ, the apostles, how did they lay down their lives in sacrifice for you and me? Well, they had to have been servants of God with vision, as they were thinking about not just this physical life like that rich man in the parable, just physical things, physical goods. I mean, their minds were on the spiritual. Hebrews 11 says about Abraham, the great patriarch Abraham, God started Israel with one man, one faithful man, an obedient man. Read Genesis 26 and verse 5. Hebrews 11 says that he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. I mean, his sight was set on New Jerusalem. I mean, that's the headquarters of the universe, soon to be. You can read about that in the last chapters of Revelation. Psalm 119 and verse 2, it says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek God with their whole heart." You see, if you consider the end of righteous living, it works out pretty good. It worked out pretty good for the Apostle Paul. As long as you're looking at it spiritually, I mean, nobody wants to be executed. But Paul said, "I've fought a good fight. I've fought a good fight. I've, there's a crown waiting for me. I've qualified. It was a fight for Paul. Let me just squeeze in another passage. This is Isaiah 47 in verse 7. This is talking about Satan's great false church. And one of its big flaws, one of its big weaknesses, Isaiah 47, 7, it says, "And you said, I shall be a lady forever." A church is represented by a woman in Scripture. You can see that in Revelation 12. But here it refers to this lady, this church, this great false church, "so that you did not lay these things to heart, neither did remember the latter end of it." I mean, that's one fatal characteristic of this great false church, that they don't consider the latter end, where their actions are leading. I mean, even the beginning, you go back to the beginning of the false church and all the persecution they leveled against true Christians and Jews, you know, crusades that happened through centuries, persecuting people because they didn't believe the way that the false church did. That's history. And yet so many people, they ignore the history and they consider themselves to be quite righteous, even if the track record is pretty brutal, even if the fruits have not been good. You can read about God's church in Jeremiah 5 and verse 31 when they got into trouble. Here again, they didn't consider the latter end. Just to finish on a really positive note here on this subject of considering the end, notice Proverbs 19 and verse 20. It says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that you might be wise in the latter end." A true Christian endures to the end. Matthew 24, 13. This talks about being wise in the end. If we hear counsel, if we receive instruction, make sure if you haven't ordered them already, request the United States and Britain in Prophecy, and also the Lamentations of Jeremiah, the free offer that we have for this week's show. That's all we have time for. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request the Lamentations of Jeremiah and the United States and Britain in Prophecy. Order now.
The preceding program was a paid presentation of the Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.